you, Judy. You always bless us. Turn your Bibles here this morning to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be looking at verse 17 and following. The topic this morning, being a father of honor. Being a father of honor. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this portion of scripture we have before us. And Lord, your word is truth. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Father, your word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, your word is the living word of God. It's alive, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, as we look into the eternal word of God here this morning, Father, give us an eye that we can see these truths. Give us a heart that we can understand and embrace them. And give us a life that we can walk within the truths of your word. So, Father, bless this message for your glory. Help me to honor your Son, Jesus Christ, and honor your word. And I pray that each one that's here will hear from the true and living God who gives life and breath to all. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, being Father's Day, I wanted the message that would encourage fathers to be fathers. There's a term called an absentee father. Do we see that across our land today? Yes. We do. Fathers who are not in the home, they're not providing any leadership, they're not providing any accountability, they're not providing any love, they're not providing for the welfare of the family, they're an absentee father. God meant for the family to have one man with one woman for one lifetime. That's a family. That's a marriage. That's a home. That's God's plan. But because of the sinfulness of man and the fallen world we live in and the cursed world we live in, does that always happen? No, it doesn't. I come from a divorce home. I get it. I understand it. Now, this verse 17, it says, wherefore be ye not, what's that next word?
Unwise.
Now, if you want to be a man of honor, you need to be a wise man. Is Satan a liar? Will he lie to people? Will he put a bait on a hook? The hook is sinful, wicked, wrong, immoral, ungodly. But will he put something on that hook to make it look so good and juicy? Is that Satan? Yeah, he'll hook people. But once he got you, sin will take you where you don't want to be. It'll make you pay a price you don't want to pay and keep you there longer than you want to stay. That is sin. That's what Satan does to the family. Don't be unwise. To be a father of honor, don't be unwise. Now, when the scriptures speak, does it speak with truth? Does it speak with authority? Is the Bible for our rule of faith and practice in our Bible, you know, in our life? Is that what the Bible's for? Faith and practice. That's what it's for. Absolutely. If a man neglects the scripture, is he wise or unwise?
Unwise.
Because Satan's got a foothold in your life. And that holds true for women too. This Bible is given to us so that we won't be unwise. How many of you take a bath? How many wish the person beside you took a bath? It's like the fellow in the elevator. Two guys, one says to the other, somebody's deodorant isn't working. The other says, it wasn't me, I don't use any. Okay, what does a bath give you? Okay, does a bath take the filth away? Right, your bath cleanses you. When you have devotions, sometimes a bath doesn't give you something, it takes it away. you walk in this world. Do we need a foot cleansing, so to speak? Do you get dusty with this world of the sin and corruption? So what does a bath do? Sometimes your devotions, all it is just to cleanse you on the inside and get your attitude right and your focus right and your goals right. See, a person that neglects the scripture, they are unwise. Now, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding, you're thinking. Now, to understand something, you got to contemplate, you got to think about it. But with understanding, you look at this situation. I don't want to be unwise. I want to be wise. I want to be a man of honor. What the will of the Lord is. Now, there is no power but of God. And if you go down the path of sin and God doesn't like it, guess who's going to win at the end? Guess whose will is going to be done? You or God's will. Ask Haman how it turned out for him in the scriptures. He had a plan, didn't he? Haman had a plan. He was going to kill all the Jews. And he built the gallows for Mordecai. But guess who ended up hanging on those gallows? Haman did. Was he a wise man or a foolish man? He was foolish. See, we got to be a thinking man. If you want to be a man of honor, first you'd be wise. Second, you'd be thinking. Because where is this taking me? What am I doing? See, if you're going to be a man of honor, a father of honor, you want to be wise, you want to be thinking, understand what the will of the Lord is. You want to do what God says. How did it turn out for Judas in the New Testament? Did it turn out good for him? Did he do God's will? No, he didn't do God's will. He was a foolish man. See, God wants us to be men that are wise, to be a man of honor. You're wise, you're understanding, and you're willing to be willing to do God's will. And there's a term called surrender. You surrender. God, I'm yours. Now, when he saved us, what part of us did he not save? Do you understand what I'm saying? When he saved us, did he save the whole man? Did he save your intellect? Did he save your emotions? Did he save your will? He saved every bit of you. But there's one part God's going to deal with one day. That's called the sin nature. And when you surrender to God, that sin nature says, do this. And God says, no, don't do that. And when you're a surrendered man, you look at the choice and you say, because temptation's there, but you say, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do God's will. What is God's will here? To be a man of honor, you're willing to do God's will. Now, you have that old sin nature. When does it, for the New Testament believer, when is that sin nature eradicated? When is it eradicated? In heaven. What did Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I'm what? I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God that what gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be a man of honor? Surrender to God. Do his will. Now, how do you get there? Don't be drunk with wine, the passions of the flesh. Don't walk down that road where is dissipation, sinfulness, corruption. But be filled with what? Spirit. You want to be a man of honor? You get filled with the Spirit. Well, Pastor, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Simple. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto who? When can you do that? All the time. You want to be a man of honor? You're just communing with God all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you something how this works. If you have a vessel that's filled with something, it's hard to put something else in there. Two material objects cannot occupy the same space. Does that make sense? Okay, if it's filled, it's filled. If you're filled with the Spirit, it's hard for Satan to put evil thoughts in your mind. It's hard for Satan to fill you with temptation if you're filled with the Spirit. So how do you keep that attitude? Well, you just are God conscious all the time. You sing in your hearts. Now, we sang good songs here this morning. And you let those, no, okay. Brian, did you have a song running through your mind this week? Brian had this song running through his mind. Now, did that help you to think about God?
It did.
It helped you to think about God. If you want to be a man of honor, then you speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's an attitude of worship. Now, when you get to heaven as a believer, are you going to be worshiping God?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why don't you go to choir practice and sing and make spiritual songs in your heart right now? Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be doing that for eternity, worshiping God. So what it does for you, it creates an attitude, it creates a presence about you, and I guarantee you, you're singing and making melody in your heart as a man of honor, God's going to open up your spiritual mind and your attitude, and you're going to be a blessed person that you have that communion with God. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, have you ever been around somebody that grumbles and complains all the time? You've been with somebody that's got a bad attitude. It takes you what? Down. You sometimes don't want to be around those people because the minute they walk in the room, oh no, and the atmosphere just goes, they like suck the air out of the room. It just goes the wrong way. But if you have somebody you're around and they're singing and making melody to the Lord, they have a pep in their step, they have the joy and they're radiating Christ, wouldn't you want to be more around that person than the person that's always complaining and grumbling? And to be a man of honor, you have that spiritual attitude. Now, do bad things happen in the world? Absolutely. But when you are filled with God's Spirit as a man of honor, you can take and have some reserves here, spiritual reserves. So when Satan's arrows fly, you already got some reserves spiritually, and you can get the victory. Verse 20, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Sing and make melody. Verse 20, given thanks always for how many things? Okay. Is that hard to do sometimes? It is. Can God make all things work together for good? He can. Now, your attitude, you want to be a man of honor. You realize in your life that nothing has happened to you that first hasn't passed through the hand of God. It gives me security to know my Heavenly Father knows everything is going to happen before it happens. And I may not understand it, I may not like it, I may not appreciate it, it may hurt me deeply, but I know God has a plan somehow in His eternal purposes that I can trust and wait on Him through it. Giving thanks always for all things unto who? God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A man of honor. You want to be Spirit-filled, you want to love God. In our nation, there's not enough men of honor that are worshiping God in their hearts day by day. Our nation has declined morally, it has declined spiritually, it has declined, the family has been busted up. It's hard for a wife to keep a family together if there's not a man of honor in the home. Is that right? It is. It's hard for a wife to keep the family together if it's not a man of honor in the home. Now, with that being said, who's the head of the home? Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. If a man is the head of the home, does he have a responsibility to watch over his wife and children? He does. Now, wives, does God call you the weaker vessel? He does. That's not bad. It's just the way God made you. Your femininity is a blessing from God. He created you to be feminine, to be soft, to be feminine. God made you that way. And in the home are men to be protectors of their wife and children. God made them physically what? Strong. So if somebody busts through the door and you have a home invasion, what should a good man do in that home? Should he send his wife to the door? Is that what he should do? What should he do? Say, honey, you get back in the bedroom. I got this one. On 9/11, did you ever hear this little phrase, let's roll? What did the men on the plane do? They said what? Let's roll. Because men are the protectors. They're stronger. That's God ordained. If you want to be a man of honor, you take care of your wife. And you defend her honor. You defend her dignity. And you defend her emotions. Because guess what? Women are made that way. What does it say here? Be not what? Unwise? But understanding, women are emotional. You live with understanding. And their emotions go like this. God made them that way. You're not going to change it. And men, you need to live with that and defend her. Because some days it's not going good for her. But that's okay. Because God made you strong. And you help her. A man has influence. Now, I heard a testimony this week. I was just listening on Christian radio and just this little thing come up. And you could tell it was a young person speaking, but he was in prison. And he said, I just wish I had a dad that stood in my face and said, son, don't do that. That's what he said. He goes, I wish I had a dad that stood in my face and said, son, don't do that. But he said, I got involved in a gang. I got involved in things that were illegal. And I'm in jail here for years and years. You know what a dad does? Because he's strong. He draws a line for his children and says, this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. Because God made him that way. He's the head of the home. Now, because he's head of the home, look at chapter 6 here. Children, obey your peer group. Is that what it says? No, it didn't say that. It said children obey who? Your parents. What does verse 4 say? And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them what? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what a father is. You want to be a father of honor? You're on your kids. You're on it. And you're teaching them right from wrong, good from bad. You never know the influence you have. I just remember Tony Evans sharing this story about when he was a young boy and his older brother had an attitude at home and he was just going after his dad. They were going back and forth and it was just bad. And Tony Evans said his dad looked at his son and said, son, this is the rules in the house. You have to live by them. He says, I'm not going to. His dad said, fine, I'm packing your suitcase. Packed his suitcase, put it on the door. His son said, fine, I'm out of this place. He goes out. A few hours later, Tony said, a knock at the door. Dad opens it. Dad, can I come back in the house? Yeah, the problem is sometimes we give in. Now, is Tony Evans a man of God? Do you think he learned a lesson about submitting to his parents at that point, watching his brother and his dad go at it? What if his dad had given in to his brother? Maybe Tony may have grown up a whole different direction in life and not fearing his father's instruction. You see, when we take a child to task for a bad attitude or a bad action, we're not only helping that child, we're helping the rest of what? The family. A father of honor will nurture, train, admonish. They're on it. Don't be an absentee dad when it comes to your family. God didn't make it that way. Now, verse 4, There's a side to this. And ye fathers, what's that next word? Provoke not, provoke. See, if you are filled with the Spirit, singing yourselves in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, making your heart melt, and that's your attitude, you just got this God presence about you. When something happens and you got to deal with it, you've got the reserves, you've got the mental faculties engaged in the right way. But let's just say you've been walking in the flesh, you're grumbling and complaining, you've got an attitude at everybody, and then your kid does the least little thing, and all your anger that you had at everything that happened today is focused right on that kid, and you blow up at him. And you're big and you're powerful, and that little kid just crumbles. How do you think that kid feels on the inside in years to come? How do you think they're going to feel? They're going to resent you. Now, are fathers perfect? Absolutely not. Do we lose it sometimes? Absolutely. What if you lose it? What are you supposed to do? Suppose you were too hard on your kid. What are you supposed to do? Yeah, apologize. You just go up to him and say, son, I'm going to tell you something. You know what happened here the other day? I've been thinking about this. And I was so wrong to yell at you like that. It was uncalled for. I was upset at something else, and I took it out on you. Will you forgive me? Now, what do you think that does in that kid's eyes? What do you think that kid thinks about his dad? If he can ask for forgiveness, maybe I should ask for forgiveness too. You see, you set the example. Because none of us, have sinned. None of us are perfect. We're going to blow it sometimes. But when you mess up, you want to be a father of honor, you make it right. And that can be for your wife too. You want to be a father of honor, make it right with her. If you blew up at her. And you fathers, you want to be a father of honor? Don't provoke your children to wrath. If you blew it, make it right. But bring them up. Now, how are you bringing them up? Because they're seeing you in verse 19 of chapter 5. They're seeing you in verse 20 in chapter 5. They're seeing you how you're living life. Which is more effective? Do as I say or do as I do? Which is more effective? Do as I do. Because words are empty sometimes if it's not backed up with a Spirit-filled man living it out. That's where your kids see it. You want to be a man of honor? Look at verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Being a man, being a father of honor, husbands, love your wives. What's the greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother and to honor their mother. And a man that doesn't honor the kid's mother is dishonoring the children, they're dishonoring the mother, and they're dishonoring God. Because what did God say? Husbands, love your what? Wives, only when they do me good. Is that what it says there? Only when my wife does everything exactly the way I want it, am I going to love her. Is that what it says there? Okay, what's the example? Even as Christ loved the church. Who is part of the church? Are you part of the church?
Yes.
Do you always get it right?
No.
Does Christ ever stop loving you?
No.
No, he doesn't stop loving you because you don't get it right. And we don't stop loving our wives as fathers of honor just because they mess up big time. Matter of fact, if they mess up, we need to love them even more to show how Christ-like we are. Because Jesus will never forsake me or leave me. And being a man of honor, being a father of honor, we love our wives. And now, women, did Christ die for the church? He died, okay? Did he sacrifice himself for the church? He did. So if A man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Should a man be willing to sacrifice himself for his wife if it came down to that? If somebody broke into the house and there was a confrontation, should he take that person on even though he might be physically killed? Should he do that to defend her and the children? He should. Okay. Wives, did you know there's something you have to die to? And where do you see that? Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own who? Husband. Now, this is how it works. Husbands, you love your wife enough that you're willing to die for her to protect her honor, her dignity, her well-being. But wives, do you have a will of your own?
Yes.
Does your will and your husband's will always harmonize in perfect harmony together? No, it doesn't. And in those times, if it's not, now if your husband's asking you to go rob the bank down the street and drive the getaway car, I think that's something you shouldn't do because that's going against God's will. But if it's something within the arena of God's will, it's good counsel, but you just don't like it because you don't like it, guess what? You need to get with the program and submit to your husband. You're dying to yourself. See, each person has to die. The husband has to die. The wife has to die, in a sense. She dies to her self-will so that in the home there may be what? Harmony. This equality in marriage is not of God. It's not of God. Now, in creation, God loves man and woman equally. In God's sight, he loves us just the same. In the home, the husband's ahead, the wife is to follow. Why submit yourself unto your own husband? What do you call a wife that will not follow her husband's leading when it's right, it's good, it's reasonable, she may not like it? What do you call a wife like that? She is what? Okay, stubborn? She is rebellious at a deeper level. Does that cause problems in a home?
Yes.
Yeah, it causes problems, huge problems. For the New Testament believer that believes in Christ, that believes in God, for men that want to be men of honor, you protect your wife and you love her and you're on her well-being side. You're taking care of her. But wives, you need to follow your husbands. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let's just say there's a husband and wife. They're Christians. The husband likes church A, the wife likes church B, and they can't reconcile that. They can't go to two different churches. What should they do? Well, possibly. But if it's A or B, and that's the only choices on the table, but they're both good choices, but the husband wants A, the wife wants B, what should happen? It should be A because that's what the husband wants. That's the wife dying to self. And speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto who? The Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done, giving thanks always in all things. Can a wife give thanks for something that she doesn't like? Can she do that?
Yes, but it's hard.
Yes, but it's hard. But God's Spirit is with us. It is hard. I get it. I know it's hard. But there's a God in heaven that if he looks down on a submissive woman and he can say, she's got it. She's got it. A woman that is humble and submissive is of great price in God's sight. With that being said, wives, understand, sometimes your husband makes a bad decision, and you know it's bad. Any wives out there feel that way? You know it's bad, right? Okay? That happens. Can God deal with your husband with that bad decision? Can he deal with her? I mean, can God deal with your husband? You can tell God, God, this is the most stupidest thing my husband does. I don't understand why he's doing this. It's just going to be a disaster. But he's head of the home. What do you want me to do? Follow your husband. And I'll take care of your husband. You have to trust God that he's going to work in your husband's life. Because guess what? Men can look at men and say, what are you doing? Do you know what I'm saying? A wife is not the only voice in a man's ear. Why do you have a church family? Because as elders, as Dan and Fred and myself, we can look at a man and say, what are you doing? The wife is like trying to submit. And we can say, what are you doing? And a wife is not alone because she's got God. And if she's in a good church, the church leadership can come alongside her and help her. But what does God want her to do? Submit. Because the minute you start kicking back at your husband, guess what he's going to do? Kick back at you. And it just tumbles. To be a man of honor, you love your wife, and wives, you submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It's hard. It's very hard, but it's the right thing to do. And what does God want? Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself, what kind of church? A glorious church. A glorious church. Are we part of the church again? He wants a glorious church where families are together, serving the Lord, sanctified, walking in the Spirit, loving each other, honoring God. That's a glorious church. Now, if you're made up of the church, you need to do your part in the church. Because what some people do is they hear a message like this and they go outside the church. All right, I just won't come. I don't want to do this. I don't agree with it. I'm out of here. Fine, you separate yourself, but guess what? You're removing yourself from the blessings of God at the same time. Because Jesus said, I'll build my church, and people that don't want to get with the program and they leave, well, guess what? You're on your own and you're in Satan's territory, and it's going to go from bad to worse because you've invoked the chastisement of God upon your life. Verse 21 of Ephesians 5 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You better fear God. You better fear God. As we submit ourselves, we work together in a church, we might have a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but it should be holy without blemish. To be a man of honor, look at verse 31. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be what? One flesh. That's your wife. Men are leaders. To be a man of honor, you're a leader. Over and over again in these few verses, look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You get that down, you're going to have a home that God can work in. You neglect that verse, you're going to have trouble night and day in your home. It's not easy to be a man of honor, to be a father of honor. But God gives a pathway. God gives the ability. God gives the word. God gives the spirit. God gives the leadership of the church. God gives all these things so that the family can be blessed. The family can be blessed. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. A father is on his family. Be a father of honor. You're on your family. You're disciplining. You're guiding. You're loving your wife. You're watching over your children. You're raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, let's pray you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we've looked at here this morning. And Father, on this Father's Day, may we be fathers of honor, men of honor. That we're on it, God, that we're all over being a man of honor. And Father, in the quietness of this moment, there may be some men here that are not one-woman men. They see things. They talk to women that aren't their wife in such a way that's not honoring to their wife. And God, you see it. And Father, there's men possibly that are absentee dads. There's men that maybe aren't living the Christian life. But Lord, there's other men who, like Joshua said years ago, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. They're on it. And Lord, I thank you for those men. Lord, I thank you for the men who have paid the price spiritually and study your word and live it out before their children. And when they blow it, God, they tell their kids they're sorry. And Father, I thank you for those men who want to be men of honor in their homes, that do love their wives, that do care deeply for their children's well-being and provide and protect and watch over their homes. And God, I thank you for these men. And Father, may you stir something inside of us that we can be more of a man of honor. Father, we can do some good things, but sometimes we don't do all the things we need to do. Lord, as men of honor, fathers of honor, may we love our wives the way Christ loved us. May we love our children and train them and teach them the ways of the Lord. Father, this week we have before us, and Father, I thank you that if we have blown it as a man, that we haven't been a man, I thank you for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, you, God, are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank you for that. Lord, bless us here this week as men. Lord, it's tough, and I pray our wives would support us and encourage us and strengthen our hand, Lord, as we try to be fathers of honor. Father, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. He's destroyed so many homes, God. But I thank you that this is the first day of the rest of our life, and God, I thank you that we can strive to have a new home and a new beginning and a new life together in Christ, and I thank you for the power of the gospel to heal the brokenhearted and to bring new life into families that are dying of brokenness and sin. Father, thank you for being a great God. Bless us as your people, Lord. Help us toward this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.